Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It has been a sight that has moved the world. Masses of Egyptians of all stripes telling their leader to go loudly, eloquently, and day after day, peaceably. Last night, President Mubarak said he'd go, but not yet. And the army told the Egyptian public, the protesters, go home. Today, ugly scenes as pro-regime supporters charged those crowds in Liberation Square. Mayhem, and it's still going on. What would you do now if you were an Egyptian? What should the U.S. do? This hour On Point, we speak to Egyptians about their push for democracy and the price they may yet pay. You can join the conversation. Are you watching the live broadcasts from Cairo? What do you see? What would you do? What should the Egyptian military do? Washington. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Day after day in the streets in Tahrir Square, there was a lot of pride out there. Here's a family with children, a CNN reporter speaking with them yesterday.
What do you think of Mohammed al-Baradei or Amr Moussa?
No, nobody specific.
I don't care about will be Baradei, will be anyone else. I care about anyone, no Mubarak. Maybe this one.
You want a democracy.
This is what I want.
Democracy is all he wants. And here's the pride that people have felt, had felt, in that square. Here's CNN again talking with an Egyptian woman there yesterday.
How do you feel? I mean, when you see your country like this, what goes through your mind?
I'm proud. I'm Egyptian now. Only now I'm very proud that I'm Egyptian.
You weren't proud before?
No.
And now you're proud?
Yes.
And then today, pro-Mubarak supporters surging into the crowd, some on horse and camelback. Here's an Al Jazeera correspondent reporting today in what had only seconds beforehand been a relatively peaceful protest scene.
From nowhere, a charge of eight people riding horses and one guy riding a camel have come charging up the street on the pro-Mubarak side and have hit the anti-government protesters who had linked arms to stop this, hit them at full force.
And it's just gotten wilder there. This is suddenly very much no sure thing in any direction. Joining us right now from Cairo, Egypt, is Laura King, correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. Laura, what has happened today? What have you seen?
What we've seen here is a very abrupt and dramatic descent into violence. Protests that had been relatively peaceful over the last several days took a turn when pro-Mubarak demonstrators, supporters of the president, rushed into the square on horses and on a camel, some of them, and others formed human phalanxes and pushed their way into the square and began clashing with the anti-Mubarak demonstrators who had held the square for these recent days.
We're seeing reports of nicely pre-printed signs and brand new flags among these buses bringing in supporters. Is this an organized pro-Mubarak pushback? Is this the government mustering its troops, in effect? Is this spontaneous Egyptian support for the leader?
It does not appear spontaneous. It appears highly orchestrated. The pro-Mubarak forces, as they were marching toward the square, were very organized. There are reports that some of them were being paid to take part in these demonstrations of force against the people who had been occupying the square. And it does have a very organized and orchestrated look to it.
We're reading reports of anti-Mubarak protesters begging the military to intervene, to restore some order here, to stop the clashes. Is there any sign of the military doing that?
Well, the military has moved just in the last half hour to separate the two sides at one point where the clashes were the most intense, just in front of the Egyptian Museum, which is, of course, the home of the famous King Tut collection. The army moved some vehicles into places to try to separate the two sides who had been hurling rocks and bottles at one another.
The anti-Mubarak protesters outnumber the pro-Mubarak, but more and more pro-Mubarak have shown up here. I mean, what could happen? Are they surging into Tahrir Square yet? Could they disperse the others? Is this a put down? Is this a crackdown in effect?
It does seem to be a crackdown. Yes, I think the forces, the anti-Mubarak forces who have been in the square, outnumber the arrivals, the attackers, if you will. But it's many of the people who were in the square were women, children, and some of them, of course, are trying to flee. And it's just degenerated into a confrontation between groups of men armed with rocks, bottles, and sticks, hurling projectiles at one another. People have grabbed up pieces of cardboard and sheet metal, using them as makeshift shields. It's difficult to tell the extent of injuries at this point, but you see many people staggering away from the fight with bloodied faces, having been hit with a rock or a bottle.
Many were reading. Here's Egyptian political activist today in the middle of the violent clashes in Cairo talking with the BBC.
It's getting really violent, and this is not the peaceful quote-unquote that Mubarak was talking about yesterday. He wants blood on the street, and it's literally being bloodshed on the street. We were protesting peacefully since Friday, and we got swarmed with tear gas and rubber bullets. Over 100 people dead by police, shot by Mubarak police for peacefully protesting, and now we're getting thugs attacking peaceful protesters who are only demanding justice. Enough of 30 years of Mubarak.
Laura King, last question. There in Cairo, is this now all up in the air again? Is it possible that the Mubarak regime will roll on after all these protests?
Well, it certainly seems that the president is not going to accede peacefully to the continuing demand by the protesters that he relinquish office now rather than waiting until September. The two sides, it's very difficult for either one to back down. You know, there are these entrenched loyalists of Mubarak who are going to fight for his continuing in office with violence and intimidation if necessary, and the protesters who say they are determined to hold their ground in the square. So it does seem that more violence is on the way.
Incredible. Laura King with the Los Angeles Times out there today in the streets with us right now from Cairo, Egypt. Laura, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, after 30 years in power, went on state television last night to say he would not run for re-election this fall. President Obama is saying transition must begin now. Here's how Al Jazeera's English-speaking anchorman in Doha, Qatar, described the moment last night.
I do not intend to run for the coming presidential election. I'll be happy to hand over the banner in a manner that preserves stability in Egypt. I will work towards a peaceful transition of power in the few months which are left for me. The words there of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, but you can see the reaction to those words already on the streets of Tahrir Square.
And you can certainly hear it there last night. People saying, not good enough, leave, go now. Today, a very different scene. Thousands and thousands of Mubarak supporters, Bustin and others, attacking those protesters, largely peaceful, in Tahrir Square. We're going to talk with Egyptians this hour about what they see happening in their country. Joining me now in the studio is Ashraf Higazi. He's executive director of the Dubai Initiative at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He is an Egyptian. Ashraf, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
From New York, we're joined by Farah Safan, a 22-year-old Egyptian student now living in the U.S. studying journalism at the New York Film Academy. Her family is in Cairo. Farah, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome, Tom.
And in the same studio in New York, Mona El-Tahawi. She's a columnist for Qatar's Al-Arab newspaper, Israel's The Jerusalem Report, and many more. She tracks political blogging and social networking in the Arab world. Her family hails from the southern Egyptian town of Bani Suif and also Cairo. Mona, thank you for being there.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Mona, you're watching these images. We're watching them on the television screens in our studio right now as well. You've got the social network up and running. What are you seeing? What are you hearing today from Cairo?
I'm hearing what has been all along a very peaceful uprising against the Mubarak regime being brutally cracked down upon by Mubarak thugs. All along, the protesters in every Egyptian city have been shouting out Selmeya, Selmeya, which is the Arabic word for peaceful. And the only time we've seen violence is when Mubarak has unleashed his thugs, as we're seeing today. So clearly, what is coming through Twitter and all the other modes of communication that I have with my Egyptian friends is that Mubarak says one thing last night about a peaceful transition of power, and today clearly shows what he has in mind, a violent crackdown to turn Egyptians against each other.
Farah, do you still believe the removal of Mubarak will happen, or could all of this disappear? Could all this be cracked down and shoved into Egyptian prisons and back into homes and shops?
I think it will mostly depend on how much people are willing to hold their grounds and stand up for what they have started and their beliefs. But it seems that the majority have decided to believe Mubarak's speech from last night. And the same people who were cursing him and standing up against him just a week ago, only today I open my Facebook, and as soon as they're back online, their profile pictures are all pictures of Mubarak, and they're all their statuses are calling for people to give him a second chance and all that. So it's becoming very confusing right
now. Wow. Ashraf, we just have a few seconds before the break. Could all this go away? Could that actually happen?
I don't think so. I think the protesters who've been on the ground for days now, 2 million of whom were completely peaceful the past couple of days, are not going to accept these thugs driving them home.
Well, we have much to talk about. The situation in Egypt becoming very volatile, violent today as the Mubarak supporters pour into the streets. Behind me here, some of the protest song, Moroccan-born rapper Master Mim's song, Back Down Mubarak, inspired by the demonstrations in Egypt. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Egyptians about Egypt, their uprising and their choices now as a very explosive situation has developed in Cairo and other cities in Egypt today. With the morning after President Mubarak's announcement that he would not stand for re-election, suddenly pro-Mubarak forces pouring into the scenes of largely nonviolent protests that we have been witnessing for the last week and more. Here's a little example. More sound from Cairo today. An Al Jazeera reporter again, who was in the front lines of the major clash in Tahrir Square, describing the chaos and confusion there.
Leading that protest is a car carrying a sound system playing exactly the same patriotic songs that the anti-government protesters have been playing, but driving that truck are uniformed police officers.
Uniformed police officers who had vanished from the streets and now in among those pushing back against the protesters, the entire city of Cairo, and some of these images seems engulfed in violence, say reporters at the scene. Here's another Al Jazeera reporter trying to find refuge in that situation.
I can't seem to find any refuge in every side street. I'm finding people throwing rocks, shouting. The problem is nobody knows who is an anti-Mubarak protester, who's a pro-Mubarak protester. So suddenly we find what was a slightly quiet situation erupting into violence. And I don't see this ending anytime soon. People are extremely angry. They're upset and they're shouting.
Confusion reigning, but battle lines have formed. Camel and horse charges into the protesters' ranks today. With me in the studio, Ashraf Haghazi. He's an Egyptian watching all this with us. Mona Ethalwi joins us from New York, a big social networking figure there. Farah Safan, a 22-year-old Egyptian, also with us from New York. And I'd just like to ask all of you what you're hearing. The social networks are alive and really burning today. Ashraf, you've got your, I see you working your, whatever it is, phone right here, right now. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing from the ground that some of these thugs are saying they were prisoners who have been bused to Tahrir Square.
Were these prisoners who had, we know many prisons were broken open and people just fled.
Right. These are ones who were in prison just until just now when they were taken by buses and basically given free rein to push back the protesters.
Go after these crowds. Mona, what are you hearing? The reports out of Cairo say, razor blades, knives, bats, clubs, some guns. Released prisoners rallied to Mubarak's side?
Well, I just got a text message from my sister-in-law who is in Ohio, and she called her brother who is in Tahrir Square, and she just wrote and she said, Mona, he says they're surrounded, trapped, they can't go anywhere. It's like a war zone. This dictator has to be stopped and taken to trial for what he's doing to his people. So clearly, I mean, the entire world is watching, not just Egyptians. And what Mubarak fails to recognize is that this is not the 1980s where we didn't have satellite television, we didn't have Twitter that could tell us on the spot what is going on in Tahrir Square. He seems to think that business is normal. He's in an alternate reality where he doesn't understand what he's doing. This bloody crackdown is being watched by the entire world, and this is where administrations across the world have the moral responsibility to step in and say, go now.
The world has certainly been watching, but far out today we're hearing reports of many of these pro-Mubarak people in the streets attacking journalists, knocking down cameras, beating journalists in the streets. Many have been hurt already. I mean, the internet perhaps has come back up a little bit, but is it possible that they can shut off the images out of Egypt? As Mona says, it's a new day, and yet a lot of those cameramen are under attack.
I think if they've done it once, they can do it twice and 100 times again, because this was the only way for the world to see what's actually going on. And I think they're scared because of the increasing pressure, especially by the people of other countries, not necessarily the governments, because up until now, I don't see that anyone has taken a strong stance against Mubarak, because I'm not really sure why they haven't been really firm with him, but I think they can do it again, yes.
The whole world is certainly watching. Let's hear from the many on the phones right now with us, and lots of comments coming in online on Facebook. Lawrence, Massachusetts. Emil, you're on the air. Hi, Emil. Thanks for calling. What do you see?
Yes, hi. I see that's all the prostitute on the Tahrir Square. That's all from the Brotherhood pressures on the people. And you want to get them on the street to put the government, to put the president, Hosni Mubarak. He's the good person. I'm Egyptian, and I like him so much. And all my friends here, they like him so much. And he's a good guy. He done a lot of things to Egypt. And he put a lot of factories in Egypt. And those prostitutes from the Muslim Brotherhood, actually, because the Muslim Brotherhood, they lost the election on the parliament, lost the parliament. Usually, the Muslim
Emil, let me ask you, are you for Mubarak or against Mubarak?
No, for Mubarak. I love Mubarak. He's a good person. He's the peaceful person. He likes the peace. He doesn't like to go to war with Israel against Hamas.
Emil, we've got it. Emil votes for Mubarak, and there are people in the streets doing that right now. Here's a report from AP saying thousands in, this is one upscale Cairo Boulevard, have come out today to cheer for Mubarak. Men in designer sunglasses, women with expensive hairdos, joining government employees, nurses in white dresses and stockings, jumping and chanting, "We love you, Mubarak." Marcia in Fairfield, Iowa. Marcia, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Tom, for...
Yes.
for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am strongly sitting with the anti-government supporters. I am so energized by what they're doing, and I think millions and millions of us around the world are right there. As one of your guests said, we are all behind these supporters, and I think they know it. My daughter's best friend is American, who's been working for a human rights organization in Cairo, doing her master's thesis on social networking and autocratic governments over the last year. And she's been calling my daughter daily and saying the feeling there of pride and of strength and of solidarity and of peacefulness amongst all the people, you know, of all different stratas of society, all different classes. We've seen them out there. The last speaker, you know, I respect everybody's right, but I think he's living in an alternate reality.
Marcia, I appreciate your call as well. Let me take it to our Egyptian guest, Ashraf. Clearly, over 30 years of Mubarak rule, many people's interests have become aligned with the power, whether it's their business or their political affiliation. I mean, how does this break down in Egypt today? 2 days ago, we thought, boy, they're really in the margins. They're gone. Nobody really supports this guy anymore. Now, those who do are in the streets as well. Who supports Mubarak?
Not a lot of people, not many people. There are people who've certainly benefited from the corrupt regime, but the vast majority of people haven't. And I'm reminded by some Facebook friends of, I believe, Benjamin Franklin's quote, that he who would trade liberty for some temporary security deserves neither liberty nor security. And I think that describes perfectly the precipice that Egyptians are on right now. If they allow Mubarak to scare them to and essentially break the back of this movement, I fear that there will never be another movement like this, and he will have won permanently, and all his promises can be broken without people being willing to challenge him on it.
Mona, does that seem possible today, that this movement may be broken in the streets, people scared back into their regular lives? The army, the military is saying, go back about your normal lives.
What I'm hearing from the activists I know in Tahrir Square is that they are determined and they will not go. I think what we have to focus on is this idea that Mubarak is trying to scare Egyptians across all levels, not just the protesters, mm-hmm. into thinking that the country is descending into chaos. But what we must be very clear about is that he is the reason for that chaos, because until his thugs were unleashed on the streets in Egypt, there was no violence. Even the looting that we heard of, that was directly connected. Human Rights Watch proved that the looting that we heard about was by thugs that were directly connected to the regime. So I think what needs to happen in Egypt now, and that's what I'm hearing from activist friends of mine, is that they are spreading the word, this is Mubarak trying to push you into a almost like a civil war, into chaos, so that you plead with him to stay so that he can get the country back to its, what it used to be like. But we've crossed a point of no return now. Egyptians have seen what it's like to be empowered and to say no to the dictator, and they understand his dirty tricks.
Salim in Montreal, you're on the air, Salim. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi, Tom. I'm Iranian. I was born in Iran, and I lived through the revolution in Iran. And I just want to, you know, make the comment that I don't wish to for Egypt or for Egyptians to go through what Iran and the Iranians went through after the revolution. What followed the revolution was a vacuum of power for a period of 6 months, and then we know what followed. I mean, what happened since then is 100 times worse. So I hope that the opposition groups can get together and actually build something that's democratic, because there's a difference between freedom from oppression and then leading to an actual democratic state.
Salim, I appreciate your call, and we all know the history in Iran. Farah, what about it? There has not been a very clear leadership alternative put forward yet by the protesters in the streets. Salim warns, you know, be careful what you wish for. You could get, as Mubarak might say, you know, instability and something worse. What about that, Farah?
Well, I personally think Mubarak has spent most of the portion of his regime working hard so that there would not be an alternative to him. And this is why we're in this mess right now. So he didn't let anyone stand out in the crowd, and people would be able to point out one person or two or even five that could be potential candidates. So right now, I'm not sure who could replace Mubarak, but I think what could work right now is some sort of an opposition coalition that could represent everyone's opinions until we have elections and get to actually choose one specific leader.
Mona, what about Salim's warning of the Iran example? He says, don't go there.
I understand, obviously, because of what Iran has been through and the difficulties they've had in trying to get rid of this theocracy that ended up jumping onto the revolution. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every country has its own specific conditions. And what I've seen on the streets in Egypt from the past 8 or 9 days or so is that the Islamists that people have usually looked at in alarm have just been one of many groups that have been represented on the streets of Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is there, yes, because some Egyptians do support them, but there are liberals. I'm liberal, I'm secular, and many of my friends are there. There are others who have communist leanings. There are others who are absolutely apolitical. What we're seeing in Egypt is democracy in action, and that is people of all different political backgrounds marching in the streets together saying the dictator must go, and their voices together will create the interim government that Farah was talking about that will represent all Egyptians. Mubarak has suffocated any kind of free expression for the past 30 years. Egyptians now want to rebuild that, and that is the democracy that he's trying to destroy.
But
a lot of those protesters, as we speak, are being beaten, from what I can see on television here, on the scenes coming out of Cairo. Sean in Lexington, Kentucky. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yes, I just wanted to echo the point that Mona, I believe her, your yes. guest Mona, made yes. earlier about it being a moral imperative for governments around the world, administrations to state, to kind of call Mubarak out, maybe to call for some kind of regional meeting or summit, but in order to just, on a regular hourly, however often you need,
yep.
to make public comments.
Well, let's see if that would actually work. I mean, to your point, Sean, here's British Prime Minister David Cameron today saying they've got to speed up, they've got to do something, warning Mubarak's government that, quote, if it turns out that the regime in any way has been sponsoring or tolerating this violence in the streets today, that would be completely and utterly unacceptable. Ashraf, does that matter now, what David Cameron says, or for that matter, Barack Obama says?
No, I don't think it matters. And to the caller's point, I don't think even a regional coalition would make any difference. I think Mubarak is very strong-headed, and he has decided he's staying at all costs. He said he's willing to die on his
soil. He intends to die on Egyptian soil,
not
to flee.
And he's warned that he is going to use whatever means he has to put down the people who he considers to be thugs. So I believe if he stays in power, and he's not listening to any advice from anyone right now, and he will stay in power, he will decapitate or try to decapitate the movement. He will use these thugs to put down any civilians who are trying to take to the streets. And like I said, any promises that he's made can be pushed aside, and the world won't be able to stop him.
Exactly how does this work now? The power levers in this situation in Egypt, I mean, that's the old recipe. Use thugs, use police, put people down in the streets, put them in prison, treat them badly, put the fear of God into others. Will that work here? There were, it seemed, too many protesters to follow that strategy just 2 days ago, just yesterday.
But things are deteriorating in the country. Lack of food, lack of gas, and a lot of this is because of the actions that he has taken. So if he continues to do that, I think a lot of people who have been supporting the protesters will be scared and stay at home, and so that they can have some security. And also, I think some of the foreign governments may end up supporting his stay just so that they can maintain the stability of Egypt. So in a lot of ways, he's played his hand quite well by scaring people about what the alternative might be if he were to go soon.
Incredible. Mona, where does the military come in here? They have appeared to be the neutral force. They've made gestures that appeared even friendly to the protesters. They certainly haven't pushed back against them, though today that's not quite so clear. And there was this call last night from the military spokesman for people to drop it, to go home. Are they decisive here still? Is it clear which way they're turning, Mona?
I haven't heard yet that they've shot at anyone today, but I've also heard that people are incredibly disappointed that they haven't intervened to protect peaceful protesters against Mubarak's thugs. Because a couple of days ago, when the head of the armed forces spoke and said, we will not open fire and the demands of the uprising and the protesters are legitimate, that was taken as a great sign. So, and when people would catch looters who were connected to the Mubarak regime, they would hand them over to the armed forces. So they looked at the armed forces as this kind of protective shield between them and Mubarak and his thugs. And it's time today for the armed forces to recognize that this is Mubarak versus Egypt. This is Mubarak versus the well-being of the entire country, and they must intervene, not to stage a military coup, but to save Egyptians from this dictator who is determined to basically push the country to the brink.
What will decide this? The United States, President Obama, has a special envoy in Cairo, Frank Wisner, who apparently pushed him to say he would not run for re-election. But what more, what else should the U.S. do now, Mona?
Oh, the U.S., I can't even speak, I'm so angry. Every time we've heard President Obama or Secretary of State Clinton come out, you can feel they want to say, just go, because we recognize what you're doing is wrong. But they are paralyzed by years of a hypocritical foreign policy that has decided to support a dictator for the sake of stability. And who's paid the price? The Egyptian people have paid the price, and today they pay that price in their blood. And anybody who's watching and does not, this British David Cameron, who says, if it is proven
yes.
that the Mubarak Mubarak regime. What more do you need to prove that this is the Mubarak regime? When the police were not on the streets, there was no violence. Once Mubarak sends his people out on the streets, there is violence. A deaf and blind man can tell you that this is the Mubarak regime. These people are hypocrites. Every administration that supports Mubarak is a hypocritical administration.
But can the United States win by sticking with Mubarak now? Whatever win might mean?
Is that for me?
Yes, Mona?
It will win because it will be on the side of the people, and the future belongs with the people. Mubarak is dragging the country down, and anyone who supports him is going down with him in moral standing.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are talking with Egyptians today about Egypt and what is going on there right now. Only yesterday, people speaking of the inevitability of Hosni Mubarak going. Perhaps he still will, but there has been a big turn of events today as many thousands of supporters of the president, interpret that as you will, are out in the streets. One of my guests today says, prisoners corralled and put out there on behalf of Mubarak. Others are saying there are real supporters of Mubarak. We're hearing everything in between, and certainly on the streets of Cairo today and elsewhere in Egypt, mayhem, knives and clubs and bats, and now reports of gunfire there. Here's an amateur video made by a protester in Cairo just in the last hour and posted to YouTube. Go, 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 he says. But there are now thousands in Tahrir Square and elsewhere as well chanting, he will not go, he will not go. And it has been a day of a very sad violence there. Ashraf Hagazi is with us, executive director of the Dubai Initiative at Harvard's Kennedy School. Egyptian joins me in the studio. Mona El-Tawi is with us, columnist for Qatar's Al Arab newspaper, Israel's The Jerusalem Report, and more. She has been right in the thick of the Twitter and Facebook and social networking angle of everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks. Farah Safan is with us as well from New York, 22-year-old Egyptian student there. Her family lives in Cairo. She's been in regular touch with them. Jeff in Framingham, Massachusetts. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I was very encouraged and happy when this revolution began. I call it a revolution because it seemed to continue on from the Philippines People's Revolution, and there was no violence. It was people expressing themselves after 30 years of real repression, and people only get out on the street like that when they are at the end of their rope. And it takes a lot to do that. And there they are, and the Mubarak regime has tried everything. First, they say you're going to get Islamists like Khomeini. And now they put out these thugs on the street. And if you remember in 1953, through the news, the Mossadegh democratic regime in Iran suffered the same kind of attack. They had these people from the wrestling clubs and from other places. That time it was supported by the CIA. This time it's by the Mubarak regime itself. And these people who are saying that they are from Mubarak don't come riding in on camels and horses. I'm sorry. It's such baloney.
You're not buying it. Jeff, we've got it. We've got the perspective. And let me get one more right here, if I may. Quincy, Massachusetts. Thank you, Jeff. Hassan, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I support President Mubarak. And there is no freedom in the United States. We are here in the United States, ruled by the American ruling mafia, some rich and some politicians, some Jews. And now they are trying to remove President Mubarak the same way they removed a Shah of Iran. So, and you have all your guests from Dubai, those are agents of the United States. They are agents of the Anglo-Judo-American Empire.
Hassan, if I may say, in Israel there's been shock at the notion of Mubarak going. There's been, almost weeping and wailing at that idea.
This is one of the things he did. Avoided war with Israel and put a stop to the civil war between the Christians and the Muslims, which the Anglo-Judo-American Empire is trying to to have achieved to have the Christians and Muslim people kill each other.
Hassan, thank you for your call as well. All right, there's going to be a lot of this in the days ahead. You know, once you get everybody out in the streets, it becomes a much harder story to tell. But Mona, I guess we know where you come from on this, but what is the world to think as it turns from a sort of one-way protest into mayhem in the square there about whose interests are at play and what we're seeing play out?
I will answer your question, but before I do, I must demolish what that last caller just said because it's total and utter rubbish. And please note that he called us American agents while he lives in the United States, and that just shows you where he's coming from. What is at stake here is, you know, I mentioned before this hypocritical foreign policy that has chosen stability over the freedom and dignity of Egyptian people. Now we are talking about the stability of the country, and this is going to affect the stability of the entire region. This is why, this is what is at stake, basically. So we're talking about the lives of Egyptians on the street today. I'm hearing tweets saying, oh my God, I saw dead people. Oh my God, there are dead people. So the immediate concern now must be the well-being of those peaceful revolutionaries in the streets of Egypt. And then look at the country as a whole. Mubarak is dragging down the economy. He shut down the banks. He just today opened parts of the, allowed some of the internet to function. He shut down the trains. He shut down schools. Tourists are fleeing in, you know, out of fear. So he is basically wrecking. He is wrecking the Egyptian economy. He is responsible for dragging the country down. There are many things at stake. So for the sake of the country, the armed forces must recognize they must choose Egypt, and Egypt's international allies must recognize that they must choose the Egyptian people in order for the country to get through this peacefully in the way that everyone claims they want.
Ashraf, is it so clear that the military will choose Egypt, as Mona says, by which she means the people who have been in Liberation Square? There may be, I don't know, colonels who or lower-level people who sympathize with them, but aren't the top generals' interests kind of aligned with the Mubarak structure in Egypt?
To some extent. And I think the idea that Mubarak may stay will certainly convince them to support him some more. I've been somewhat disappointed by the military's call on people to return to their homes yesterday. And I think that's caused a major shift, both in the military's position and in the kind of support people have. But I also want to bring this up for 1 second to the wider context of the region. We've already seen these protests have a tremendous positive impact around the region. We've seen similar protests in Jordan, Yemen, and Sudan, for example, that have caused the regimes there to significantly change
Jordan
their
naming a whole new cabinet yesterday, the leader in Yemen saying he will go.
Yep, the Sudanese president has basically said that he is terrified of protests.
But this looked like a tsunami yesterday. Today, not so clear. Maybe they'll all just buckle themselves back into power now in this whole Jasmine Revolution age. Could it come to an end? Is that possible?
That's exactly what we're looking at right now. If the Mubarak regime manages to break the will of the people and survive this, I think the rest of the regimes throughout the Arab world that are at risk of being overthrown will turn around and will push back on their people. And instead of seeing a domino effect of revolutions and reforms, we're going to go back to where things were a year ago.
But President Obama just last night was saying there must be a transition and it must begin now. I mean, could the United States at this point, they're being criticized in Israel and elsewhere for letting go, for, you know, brushing off an American ally. On the other hand, after that ambiguous dance they did last week and then finally kind of embracing this, if they turn around the moment that the guys with clubs hit the streets and one way or another take the pressure off of Mubarak, how does that look in Egypt? How does that look in the region?
Well, it makes people's view of the United States a very negative one. I think the United States may have been starting to change its image in the region by supporting people who are demanding democracy and free voice. And if they change now when they see Mubarak starting to win, I think it makes it very difficult for them to interact positively with people in the future. And in terms of making changes now, there hasn't been a benchmark set for what that means. Just the fact that he has selected a vice president and shuffled his cabinet. You know, he's talking about having negotiations with the protesters and maybe having the parliament look at the recent elections. He can claim that these are real changes, and the United States can certainly come out and say, oh, look, he really is affecting change immediately, when in fact all of these won't affect any structural change and won't really change the status of the average person on the street in Egypt.
Here's more sound from the streets in Cairo. Al Jazeera just a few moments ago.
What we're seeing right now, we're hearing the shots again. The government incidentally denied that any shots were being fired. Well, I'm sorry, we could all hear them with our own ears. Again and again, shots are being fired. They
appear to be warning shots. Who's firing those warning shots, Jackie? Can you tell at all who's firing those warning shots?
It appears to be the military who are firing the warning shots, because the military have essentially taken over the compound of the Egyptian Museum. They have been using this as a base. They've been using it as a lookout point, and they're also using it now. It would appear that the warning shots have been fired from the Egyptian Museum, which is now an army base rather than a museum.
Shots being fired, live ammunition, maybe warning shots, maybe not. In Cairo, reading reports here from the Associated Press, bloodied anti-government protesters and makeshift clinics there in mosques and alleyways, pleading for protection from soldiers stationed at Tahrir Square, soldiers refusing. Farah, can you see in these months ahead if somehow the big protests go away and Mubarak says, let's talk, we can work this out, can you see the opposition sitting down with him or Omar Suleiman, the newly named vice president, and negotiating the kind of reform? The call from the streets has been Mubarak must go. Is there something shy of that that would be satisfactory, would be an advance?
I think the opposition would start considering to sit down and talk with Mubarak if he actually starts addressing the demands the opposition have been calling for, such as ending the emergency law his entire regime has been hiding behind for 30 years, and allowing judicial supervision of elections, because right now all those who represent the people in the People's Assembly were those who won through fraud, and we also saw footage of that. Tons of footage of that. So I don't think anyone trusts Mubarak right now to sit down and talk with him until there are actually guarantees that those talks will result in actual change.
Mark in Montreal. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question to maybe your panelists can answer. With regard to the unclear stance that the U.S. has taken towards Mubarak, could it be that it's they're reluctant to show him the door just because they're afraid in return that he would have some dirty laundry on the U.S. With the respect to the extraditions and torture of terrorist suspects in Egypt?
Interesting question. Ashraf, could there be fear in Washington that if you get a new government in Cairo, there will be dirty laundry, as Mark says, that would come out? It has been a destination for some American prisoners who have apparently been tortured there in the past. What about it?
Well, it certainly could, but is that reason enough to maintain a dictator in power? And if even Mubarak is saying he will leave after 8 months, then at some point, whenever people do have representative government, that dirty laundry is going to come out anyway. So there's really no reason to delay the transition to democracy just because we're afraid of what might happen afterwards.
Mona, what are you hearing on your Twitter feed there, on Facebook? What are you seeing? Any news?
I'm seeing people send out tweets. One person found a two-year-old, and all he can say is, I found someone's two-year-old. He has green eyes. Someone please help. So, I mean, it's clear that the chaos continues. Someone else tweeted, I'm in an elevator of my hotel, and I just saw a journalist badly beaten. Others are sending out pictures that they're taking on the ground at Tahrir Square, just to give us an idea of what's going on. It's sheer and utter chaos. And as one person said, please remember, this is not pro-Mubarak protesters versus anti-Mubarak protesters. This is the state against the people. This is Mubarak against the people. And I want to reiterate what everyone said about not trusting Mubarak to negotiate, because what has he really been giving Egyptian people over the past few days? The emergency law is one of the top demands, the repeal of the emergency law. It's the emergency law that allows him to send these thugs out on the street and beat and arrest people with impunity.
White House putting out a statement saying that the United States deplores and condemns violence in Egypt and repeats a strong call for restraint. Michael, one more call. South Burlington, Vermont. Michael, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Two things. One is, I'm very pleased that it's going on, that you have this big movement for democracy, for better economic conditions, for having a better life. Number two, I'm also aware that historically, whenever there's been a popular movement so strongly, a revolution, a power vacuum is created, and usually it's the a group that is organized and disciplined that moves in to take over the power vacuum. And my concern is that, I don't know, other than the Islamic Brotherhood, what other groups in Egypt are so well organized and disciplined that they could do that?
So would you keep the Egyptian people under Mubarak to avoid that risk?
Well, no. What I really would like is to see some way, some process, where the more moderate, democratically oriented people would have a chance to, to not be overruled by somebody like the Islamic Brotherhood.
Right. We'll look at it, Michael. Our time is short. Ashraf, what about it? Mohammed al-Baradei has come back. He's kind of presented himself in that role. Michael's got some skepticism about how that would hold. I mean, right now, clearly, some kind of alternative. If there's not a clear alternative, we may head further into this chaos. What do you see waiting out there?
Well, I also see that, there are several parties that have been formed. There are several groups that are organized. So it's not true that the Muslim Brotherhood is the only alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Muslim Brotherhood, I know we tend to look at them from a very myopic standpoint, where just because they have the word Muslim in them and because they do have a history from the past of being violent, that causes us to be terrified of them. But they're actually, they've become somewhat of a moderate mainstream organization. I'm certainly not a supporter of theirs, but I believe that once the political sphere is opened and other secular groups are allowed to form parties and to grow, we will see a large shift from people who support the Muslim Brotherhood to some of these secular opposition groups. So And all of these groups that exist now, as well as Mohammed al-Baradei, have formed this ruling coalition that is ready to take over and lead a transition for Egypt.
Mona, if this protest doesn't succeed, if it should succumb to repression, we know you're saying it won't, but if it should, what would that mean? We've just got half a minute, Mona.
A total and utter disaster. The Mubarak regime's jails are full of at least 12,000 to 14,000 people. I can see him going out there and arresting every single person who took part in these protests against him and making their lives hell and cracking down even harder on the country to tell everybody no one can get rid of me. It will be a disaster. The revolution must succeed.
Well, today, everything up in the air in the chaotic streets of Egypt. And we're very grateful to the three of you. Mona El-Tahawi, columnist for Qatar's Al Arab newspaper, Twitter social networking figure. Mona, thank you for joining us from New York today.
Thank you.
Farah Safan, thank you very much for being with us on this very important day in Egyptian history. Thank you, Farah.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
And Ashraf Haghazi in the studio, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Our thoughts with everyone in Egypt. Good luck to Egypt. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.